Welcome to Your Family Dog, a podcast dedicated to helping families love living with dogs. Here are your hosts, Julie Fudge-Smith and Colleen Pilar.
Hi, and welcome to Your Family Dog. I'm Julie Fudge-Smith, and I'm here with Colleen Pilar. And today, we're going to talk about the five freedoms that each animal deserves to have in its life. We feel very strongly about these, so we're going to talk about all five of them, but we're going to split it into two episodes. And the five freedoms are, the first one, freedom from hunger and thirst. Number two, freedom from discomfort. Three, freedom from pain, injury, or disease. Number four, freedom to express normal behavior. And five, freedom from fear and distress. So we're going to take this episode and talk about the first three, freedom from hunger and thirst, freedom from discomfort, and freedom from pain, injury, or disease. So Colleen, what would you like to say?
Well, I love that there are these five freedoms because I think they're important for people to talk about and think about. And often people really only think about number one. Like, yes. I feed my dog and I provide him water, so that's good enough. And so I think number one is sort of our baseline, bare minimum of keeping an animal alive. But we're not necessarily providing quality of life if all we're doing is giving, you know, access to food and drink. But even the whole concept of, you know, ready access to fresh water, clean water. I mean, you know, is the dog drinking out of just a pond or a dirty bowl that has mold growing in it or has stuff in it from, you know, just the dog digging in the yard. Now there's dirt in the water. That's your job. That's like baseline starting point standard. But that's not enough. So that's what I really, really love about the five freedoms is they are much broader.
Yes.
And so when we were talked about dividing the episodes, we toyed with the idea of dividing into five episodes because there's five freedoms. And I said, I just cannot talk for very long about the freedom from hunger or thirst because that's my baseline. You have to do that. And then so the other ones are ones that some people sometimes miss, and that's unfortunate. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But the freedom from discomfort, I think, is an interesting one. So the freedom from discomfort by providing an appropriate environment, including shelter and a comfortable resting area. I really like that, the comfortable resting area.
I do, too. And because one of the things I think about with that is that when we're talking about shelter, we're talking about shelter that's not – we're not talking minimum. We're not talking a lean-to in the backyard. When I think of shelter, I think of something extraordinarily appropriate. Primarily, your dog, in my opinion, should be in the house. And that's sort of the start for shelter. If you do have a dog that you're going to keep outside, then you need to be thinking seriously about shelter that is appropriate for the extremes of weather in your area. Mm-hmm. You need to have one that is going to keep your dog warm in the winter, dry, cool in the summer, and comfortable and free of things like, you know, scratching insect, you know, insects or parasites or other things that could cause him discomfort. So we're talking about making sure that your dog's bedding is free of fleas and ticks and all those kinds of things. I loved the comfortable resting area.
Yes.
I think it's so important. Jean Donaldson talks about it in her book, Culture Clash. She said, you know, the dogs think in terms of safe and dangerous, and they're very motivated to keep themselves safe and out of danger. So it's really important for us to help them understand what's safe and to feel as comfortable as possible. And so I think that having a safe and comfortable resting area is one way in which you can help your dog truly be safe in his environment. And when a dog feels safe, then your dog is going to be much more likely to be playful, to be friendly, to be healthy, to be free of stress. So providing for our dog's comfort really is fundamental to providing for their mental well-being. And I think that that is sometimes people don't really realize it. Ah, fine. He's got he can lie in the corner of the kitchen. That's fine. Well, maybe that's not fine, especially if we're old and our joints hurt and we need something more comfortable to lie down on.
Yeah. Or I have a metal crate with a plastic pan on the bottom, and he makes noise if he digs at that. So I'll just take out the pan and he can just lay on the wires. Ooh, ow.
Yeah.
That's uncomfortable. That's not comfortable. And yet sometimes people think, well, that's better. That's easier, whatever. And right. So we do always want to make sure that we're, providing comfort and ideally real comfort. Like I just glanced over and I've got an orthopedic bed for my older dog, and he is just sprawled on his bed. He's comfortable. So we're not saying like you have to be the prince, which he is, but we do want to have comfort. A comfortable resting area is hugely important, because if you think about when you're uncomfortable, how that affects your behavior and your emotional state. I have some trouble with my hips, and I have been to theater events where I can't easily get out because there's a show going on and I would disrupt everybody. But I'm really uncomfortable. Like I'm just sitting going, when's intermission coming? And it's not a good experience. And right. So it's such a simple thing. Like you look at me and you're like, she's fine. She's just sitting there. I'm so not fine. And I'm so not enjoying the experience because I'm not comfortable.
Right. Well, think about if you're sitting someplace and you need to use the restroom, how uncomfortable that is. You know, it doesn't matter how cushy the chair is. If I need to use the restroom, it's really uncomfortable for me to be trying to sit there and be where I am. Well, I was thinking, too, as far as comfort, we're talking about mostly here, we're talking about physical comfort, but mental comfort is important as well. And
yeah, for example, and we'll get into that a lot in the next one. But yes, what were you going to say here?
I was just going to say that in addition to providing a comfortable resting area, one of the ways in which you may enhance your dog's ability to relax, because I think people don't realize, too, that most dogs need to sleep somewhere around 17 hours a day.
Yeah.
So if you're sleeping that much, you need a comfortable place to be, but you also need to feel safe. So, for example, Zuzu, she's on her bed right next to me. Her head's on her big bone pillow. But right next to her is a DAP diffuser, dog appeasing pheromone diffuser. And I put that in there when I first brought her home because living the life of a dog with her breeder, she had lots of dogs and no children. And in my house, there are four small children. So that was difficult for Zuzu. So I provided a safe place for her to go. And she will come into my office and lay underneath the diffuser and suck on her little pillow here until she feels comfortable. And then she stretches out. So I was thinking about the fact that providing a comfortable resting area may also include, for certain dogs, something that will help them mentally and emotionally to be comfortable and relaxed as well.
Right. In order to rest, the comfortable resting area to rest. Because we need that. We do.
Yes. So the third one is freedom from pain, injury, or disease by prevention or rapid diagnosis and treatment.
Yes.
So pain can be a tricky thing with dogs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that with rabbits, for example, that it's hard to tell when your rabbit or your bunny is ill, because being a prey animal, they do not show symptoms of illness, because that would send a warning signal to predators. So if your bunny is starting to show symptoms of illness, it may be a little bit late for the bunny, because they don't show illness early. So with our dogs, I think sometimes it works that way with discomfort or pain.
Mm-hmm.
That they can be very stoic and yet have a really uncomfortable shoulder or hips or whatever. So I think that's why regular vet visits are good. And a thorough examination, including moving all pertinent joints, just to see if there's any resistance against it. Vets can tell by the way in which an animal responds to the way in which they move a joint, whether there is discomfort there. And I think that you owe it to your dog, especially as your dog is older, age 5 or 6 or 7, and older, to see your vet every 6 months to, if not every, most people go once a year, but maybe when they're older, every 6 months, because at that point, their physical discomfort can change very quickly.
Yes. And we've had a couple of episodes where we've talked about that. Certainly in Dr. Karras's episode.
Yes.
We talked to that. So we can put some of that in the show links. One of the things that you and I talked about a while back was a monthly health log.
Right.
And the value of having that. And I admitted that at the time I had not been keeping one. And as I said, my dog is older now. He's at least 12 and a half, because I've had him 10 years and he was fully adult when I got him. And I have started keeping that log. And today, just by coincidence, was the day that the questionnaire that we had popped up, and I went through the questions, and it was sort of comforting to me to just kind of go through and go, yep, he's eating well, he's, you know, interested in activity, and going through some of those things, because like you said, they can be kind of stoic, or things can creep up so slowly that we don't notice the change. So, you know, if we're really trying to make sure that our animals are free from pain, injury, or disease, sometimes you honestly, sincerely don't know, because it was so gradual.
Right. Right. Absolutely. The other thing I was going to say from sort of freedom from pain, injury, or disease is that it really can make a huge difference in the mental well-being of your dog if indeed they are experiencing some pain. I had a person recently tell me about their dog who had had been boarded and came back with severe diarrhea, and then for whatever reason, one of the dog's legs, he didn't want to bear any weight on this leg. And so they put him through a whole series of tests, and he went to a wide variety of doctors and places, and they put him on prednisone, which seemed to help some. And finally, about 9 months after this happened, the dog got some shoulder surgery, which seemed to take care of the problem. And when I saw her, I was there to see, because the dog had been showing some aggressive behavior. And when I found out it was on prednisone for 9 months, and that just it had, for the first time, she'd weaned him off of prednisone, and he'd been on tramadol from the shoulder pain, and they were weaning him off of that. And for the first time, he was playing. He'd only been playing about a week. And I'm like, and is his behavior better? She said, yes. And I said, well, a couple of things here. I know that prednisone or corticosteroids in humans can cause aggression or can exacerbate it. And if you're in pain and somebody touches your shoulder or your hip, you can be really cranky.
Yeah.
So it's really important to understand that that makes a dog's world unsafe. So that the pain itself may drive some cranky behavior, but I'm not feeling safe in my world anymore, because I can't find comfort. And it goes back to that safe or dangerous. The world is now a more dangerous place for me, which adds to my stress, which makes me more cranky, which may make me more prone to undesirable behaviors.
Right.
So
I also kind of like that these are called the five freedoms, because of that concept of that we want you to feel safe. We want you to feel free. We want you to have this good, healthy, happy life. And I think the safety piece is under-recognized by many people.
Yes.
The mental safety, the emotional safety, how do I feel? And when we look at almost any interactions between people that aren't going well, odds are there's a safety component in here where I don't feel that I can trust you. I don't feel safe with you. I don't feel like I'm being heard or understood. I mean, safety is a huge need, a primal need for all of us, dogs and people and other animals, because these five freedoms apply to animal welfare. They're not specifically for dogs, but of course we're the dog people, so we're talking about them from the dog perspective. But these five freedoms are just important for all of us. We need to feel safe.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's important to recognize what safe looks like and what unsafe looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And safe, when we think about it, I was talking to my sister, who's an occupational therapist and works with kids, and we were talking about safety and the effect it has on sleep and the effect that it has on eating and the effect that it has on playing. If you feel safe and comfortable, then you are more likely to be interested in the world. You are more likely to be social in the world because it's safe to do that. Things aren't going to hurt me if I'm safe. You're more likely to be able to, it's not going to affect your eating behavior. You know, think about some of the dogs who, from hoarding situations or something where they didn't have a lot of food, when they get access to food, it can be, they can show some interesting behaviors. But also, too, if you feel safe and comfortable, then you're free to play. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I think that people think in safe in terms of, well, you know, he's inside and everything's fine. Well, you know, that may not be the case. So, and if you're not feeling safe, then you're less likely to play. You're less likely to eat. And so I think that, you know, this whole thing, the idea of freedom from hunger and thirst, this is wrapped right back to this too. Mm-hmm. Because if you are uncomfortable or you're not feeling safe, you may not be eating.
Yes.
And so I think that if you're not eating, you need to see your vet because you need to figure out what's going on here. Is there some sort of a physical ailment or is this some sort of stress? So these are all so intimately related. They're not really sort of this ladder of behaviors. They're an intertwined set of behaviors.
Absolutely.
That can really influence one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of overlap here between them.
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, and I just keep thinking in some ways, everything boils down to freedom from discomfort. You know, it really is boiling down to freedom from discomfort or basically feeling safe.
Yeah.
And so, what do you do? Is there anything you want to add to any of these three freedoms? That something else that comes to mind that may be a more detailed look at any of these things that people might not associate with the idea of freedom from discomfort? Or
no, actually, I'm feeling like those three we've kind of covered.
Okay.
What about you?
Okay. Yeah, I think so too, because I think that these are all, these to me are, if most people, I think, pretty much take, most good pet owners do care for their dog's hunger mm-hmm. and thirst. They do give them an appropriate place to mm-hmm. live and to be. And they are pretty good about taking care of them physically, freedom from pain, injury, or disease, getting them regular shots and stuff. So to me, these are sort of the baseline freedoms. These are the absolute bottom line. You can't live without them.
Yes.
Freedoms.
You know, that I did just have a thought. I did.
Okay.
Goes back to your safety piece. And it comes into that freedom from pain, injury, and disease. And I'm sure you've seen a lot of dogs with this issue. And I know I have, where there's this lovely dog and he's well loved and everybody thinks it's an amazing dog, and then you look at his feet and his nails are so long. Oh. And you're like, wow, so what's going on with his feet?
Yeah.
And often it's a behavioral issue that they don't feel safe when someone's trimming their feet, but sometimes it's honestly that people don't notice. They just sort of forget, or they're used to their dog having long nails that they're not noticing that, oh wow, those are way long. And when your dog's nails are too long, they change the movement of the foot and they change all the joints in there, and that could be causing pain or discomfort that you weren't aware of. So having healthy feet is an important part in here.
Yes. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think a good way to know whether or not your dog's nails need to be trimmed is you should not hear their nails when they're walking.
Mm-hmm.
Dogs should be silent. You shouldn't hear the nails. If you hear the click, 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 they probably need to be trimmed. So
yeah,
that's a good one. And I think another one, we've also talked a little bit about this too, of course, is teeth. Teeth are, people don't think about the ramifications of dental health for their dogs, but it can have a huge, make a huge difference in their freedom from discomfort and pain. So mm-hmm. pay attention to their teeth as well. And even if you don't want to brush it, then you need to think about getting your dog's teeth cleaned at least once a year. That can make a huge difference. So I think people think about, yeah, you know, he gets hurt, I take him to the vet. Well, there are other more minor things that maybe we don't think about all the time that need to be addressed. So, all right. Well, that's great, Colleen. Thank you for bringing those two that up. I think that was an important thing to add into it. And next time, we'll talk about freedom to express normal behavior and the freedom from fear and distress. So,
yes.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Thanks for listening to Your Family Dog. Got questions? Interesting ideas? Colleen and Julie would love to hear them. Call 614-349-1661 or visit www.yourfamilydogpodcast.com to share your thoughts.